So good evening, everybody. This is Wes.
This is the world famous Mark Bernay. We tried to record a Slurpcast, but the restaurant was too noisy, and they had no gas, they said. They essentially told us to bring our own gas next time for the outdoor heaters where we could have sat alone and quiet.
And there was this band that was playing that wasn't doing a very good job of...
Yeah, no banjo.
Banjo. Yeah. And then not only that, but they were their ATM machine, their credit card machine did not work. And they had no links.
Yeah. And you can't have chicken as part of a combination.
Oh, it was just a really disappointing thing.
You've been there before, just Bo's Barbecue.
Yeah, Bo's Barbecue. And
so we just wanted to go someplace quieter, so we decided, let's go to Fry's Electronics, and we'll wander around the store.
Yeah, where do nerds go when they have nothing to do?
Exactly.
Fry's Electronics.
We do have something to do. We're recording a Slurpcast.
Okay.
That's something very important to do.
Well, Mark, you'll have to excuse me for a second. We're gonna take a quick break here while I do a stupid little introduction.
Okay.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
The road to genius is paved with fumble footing and bumbling. Anyone who falls flat in his face is at least moving in the right direction. Forward. And the fellow who makes the most mistakes may be the one who will save the neck of the whole world someday.
Fry's Electronics stores is somebody pulling something that shouldn't be pulled and the alarm goes off.
I mean, like if someone pulls your finger, you mean, an alarm?
Yes, exactly.
I thought pulling your finger caused some other problem.
It does. It causes all kinds of problems, actually.
It causes legal problems, too, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's another scandal in the FartApp space. That one FartApp company is suing another one, apparently, over the trademark for pull my finger.
Yeah, which is really stupid because that's been around for years before even the iPhone, right? Pull my finger.
Oh, sure.
So how can they trademark that?
I don't know.
Ooh, they stopped the... So we're walking down the aisle with the hard drives and the smart media and the secure digital cards.
So how's your gigabyte? How's your terabyte hard drives?
Terabyte what? Hard secure drive. Digital? I didn't think that even existed.
No, they don't. Oh. The hard drive. They will.
They probably will. Terabytes? Oh, yeah, because we got to figure out if your formula... Well, your theory is correct in that you can get a terabyte for $100. What?
Oh, a terabyte for $100.
$100.
Yeah. For...
Yeah, so they'll be over here. There you go, 1 terabyte, $139. That's almost the same as the external.
That's too much. Yeah.
Mac Store, $129.
I just wouldn't pay that much. I want it under 100.
Yeah, 1 terabyte, SATA, $129.
Okay.
What about the no-name brands? They usually have the...
Yeah, that's true.
$99. Well, no, it's 500 gigs.
Now, how much is solid-state drive? One of these days...
Here's a solid-state iMation drive.
I'm going to update my notebook.
32 gig.
For
$189.
One of these days, instead of replacing my notebook, I'm just going to change the hard drive to something electronic because that will give a speed boost on it.
Okay. Maybe, that looks cool, and for the technology and for what it does, it would be kind of fun to have, but it would be a toy.
But it's still too expensive.
Yeah.
No, for me it wouldn't be a toy. We're just trying to get better speed.
Okay.
Because it's kind of slow.
Did you want to do some stories? I have a couple of stories. That's why I figured we'd sit down.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just wander around the store first, then we can sit down and do stories.
Okay.
Let's go look at the netbooks. By the way, this is...
Nobody ever said anything about
it. This is Slurpcast.com.
That's right, we didn't go...
And go to Slurpcast.com, and you'll find a blog entry behind this recording that gives the details of everything we talked about and URLs that we mentioned and things like that.
It also allows you at the blog to participate, and if you have any questions or you want to say something about something we got wrong, you can also add a comment in the blog.
Right.
Or just simply say talk about how much you love Mark and I and how much you want to go out with us because you're single and beautiful and...
Right.
Okay. Oh, here's the Acer Aspire. One is running
259er.
One is running Windows XP.
Right.
That's actually usable.
But it'd be better if the screen was bigger though.
Yeah.
But they do have 10-inch ones that are basically the same size netbook, but the screen goes all the way to the edge instead of having that big border around it.
Okay, that would be nice.
Yeah,
they're going for $300. Well, $259.
Yeah.
See, the netbook.
But it's very important to get one with big batteries and stuff like that. So if you get a netbook, don't go only for for cheap, because if you want more memory, you want a bigger hard drive, you want more battery life, stuff like that.
Okay. So, this is very cool, though.
Yeah.
There's the
HP.
Oh my gosh. This is a very interesting, very small, almost envelope size. It reminds me of the Pocket, the Poke.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Poke's smaller, though.
Yeah,
I have one.
It was smaller. I still do have one, too, yeah.
This is thicker.
This is very
they advertise it as really thin. It's not that thin.
But it's... is this the price?
That's the larger
one. No. $899.
They start at that price in $900 or $1,100 or $1,200.
See, the screen on this is very, very small. It's not worth it for me. I'd almost rather get an Aspire 1.
It's very high resolution, though. Much higher resolution than
but I'm still squinting,
smaller,
though. That's the problem that
change
I have.
Your glasses. Get better reading glasses, and it'll be fine. I can handle this.
Can you really?
But the other thing, it doesn't have a pad. It just has a little thing in the middle of the keyboard. I don't like that much.
Okay.
I played with it last time.
The nipple?
Yeah. I played with it last time. It's kind of okay, but I don't know.
Okay.
And then the other thing is they're coming out with a new version shortly with better cellular connectivity or something. I forget why.
Does this have a cell?
I think this one has
a Verizon
only. I know you were saying
it has a GPS.
Oh, I think this one could do Verizon only, but they're coming out with one. There are rumors that they're coming out with one that can handle GSM or something.
Okay.
And then it has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. You know, it has all that stuff, too.
Okay.
But see, the thing about these is that it's full width. It has a full-width keyboard.
Yeah.
The keyboard's really quite normal, but it doesn't have anything else. So the bottom is strictly the size of the keyboard, and that's it. And then the top is a tiny screen,
yes.
The dimensions of that tiny keyboard.
Yeah.
So,
now, this is, for me, this is just a little too small.
Yeah.
In terms of the screen. The keyboard looks usable. I could probably get away with that. But,
right.
But there are some netbooks. Like, HP's getting a little bit better about their netbooks. This one has the Atom.
This is
the $400 HP netbook.
Smaller. Well, no, it's not. The keyboard's really about the same.
No, that's one of the HP's strong points here is that they have good keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
The 2133 was their first foray into this netbook thing. It used the wrong CPU.
Okay.
And it gets very, very hot and sometimes freezes and damages the motherboard.
Right.
I've had to have mine replaced once.
Okay.
But now they're using
the spider. So can I just take it?
You could.
I played with it last time. I was tempted, but it's, I don't know.
Sony's really good. You're just paying a premium, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, but I say, but it is really small, and the screen is very high resolution, even though it's so small.
Yeah.
It's much higher resolution than the average netbook.
Okay.
You know, what is it? I forget what it is. It runs Vista. It's because it's not officially a netbook, Microsoft made them put Vista on it instead of XP.
Okay.
But it seems okay, though. Yeah, so it's 1600 by 768 pixels, much, much larger resolution than your average netbook. It's just that it's tiny, you know. Also, why doesn't it go further? Wouldn't you rather have it go all the way left and right?
Yes. I think that has to do with the fact that they're trying to stick to the HD.
Has a camera.
Yes, it does have a camera aimed back at you.
I know. But it just seems, I don't know, I'm just annoyed by big borders on notebooks. They should have the screen be the size that would fit.
Yeah.
It just annoys me to do anything else.
Okay.
Also, I can't stand the color of this one. This one's brown.
That's a reddish brown, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, they do come in different colors. Okay. So anyway, that Sony notebook is a valid item, you know.
Okay.
I've known about it for a while, and I don't think we ever talked about it before, so.
No.
We're in the printer section right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good. We have an item that the movie Coraline.
Oh, yeah.
That you would think was just totally rendered on computers and stuff.
Definitely, yeah.
Apparently not. Apparently it's like claymation or something where they put real characters down somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But the Coraline character and some of the other ones, the face and some of the body parts stuff are printed on a 3D printer.
Okay.
So they design what face they want, what facial expression they want on a 3D printer, build that object, and then I think stick it on a frame or something and make a claymation sort of thing out of it, is my impression. But I haven't watched the videos about it yet, but just from reading the text articles, that's the impression I got.
The printer is able to do multiple layers of UV or something, and so they're able to do the different three-dimensional layers
on one
sheet of paper.
But why would they build that physically and hang it somewhere and take a photograph of it instead of just doing that virtually on the computer?
And did they do that for each frame?
Apparently, yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. The text of the article sounds like that, which go to slipcast.com. We'll give a URL.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually watched the video yet that would explain it more.
There is a video associated with that. So we'll put the link in there.
Yeah.
Or Mark will.
Right.
Right? Because, Mark, you did...
I did the
This
list,
last
yeah.
show, you did, like, everything.
I know.
Well...
I tried to do more. I tried to do more. I just couldn't find them. Okay. I couldn't find links for a couple of the things I was trying to do. Everything.
Okay. So yeah. Now we're in the home theater section of Fries and Concord.
So I want to show... If we can find it, I want to show us the $2,000 power bars, which I swear...
Power bars, not as in power bar you eat them to get energy. Power bar is in...
Yeah, just an outlet where you plug in multiple devices and it extends your...
Yes,
but
yes,
what questions can I answer for you?
Yeah, I wanted to see your $2,000 power bars, in my opinion.
Do you have expensive, like line, like noise-canceling power surge protectors, power bars?
Yeah, you have, like, yeah, I've seen it here before. You have, like, $2,000.
I'm very skeptical. By the way, you got a really good mic for that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but these aren't the $2,000 ones. These are like the $100 ones.
He wants to spend $2,000.
You want to spend $2,000?
No, but you have them in those stereo rooms. You have things that I swear are absolutely identical to one of these, except they cost $2,000. They're never on the sub-derivative. But they have these power controllers. They're big boxes.
Those things, noise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, those things, yeah.
Okay.
Noise suppressing or third line noise canceling or conditioning, I think it's called. Electricity conditioning.
Well, what it does all is your that do a couple of things.
Yeah.
Is that, one, what do you get out of the outlet?
Yeah.
And I knew this before we had any of this stuff. Right. Think of something like one of these.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's only $1,300. I want a more expensive one than that. So, no, but all it is, if you plug it into the wall, and it has multiple outlets in the back that you plug your equipment in, how is this any different than buying a $5 power bar? That's my point.
Okay. As I started to say, one, what you said, if you were to measure, you had a digital voltmeter.
Right.
Okay. You would see it vary like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sometimes it's going to, depending upon where you are and so on,
right.
May dip to 115 volts, maybe down to 110.
Okay.
Go up maybe to 121, 122.
Okay.
You're not going to get a nominal 117 volts, which is what you're supposed to get. Okay. Similarly, you're not going to get a nice, smooth, again, if you had an oscilloscope,
right.
You're not going to get a nice, smooth... 60 cycle sine wave.
Right.
Doesn't happen.
Right.
Okay? It's going to go, instead of going this way, it's going to go this way.
Okay.
It's going to go this way. And it's going to go like this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what these do is that these take that jagged, uneven,
they adjust for the difference?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And it'll compensate and give you your 117 volts nominal or 120.
Right.
Okay. It'll give you 60 cycles.
Okay.
Right.
And instead of being looking like this,
right.
It's going to be like this.
Yeah, much smoother.
Okay.
Okay.
But so what? Every modern day piece of electronics has its own power supply, its filters and stuff built in.
But it doesn't necessarily filter all of that out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Again, these have wonderful power supplies.
Right.
Okay. Probably got the best power supply in the store.
Right.
But it will only clean up so much. Because this is not designed for that purpose.
Right.
This will clean it up to a degree, and with that, it's going to improve your sound.
Okay, but can you demonstrate it with and without swap power supply? Plug it directly to the wall with nothing versus that $1,300 filter. Show me that it makes any difference whatsoever in practice. That's what I'm saying. Around the TV set, show me any difference whatsoever in the picture quality of the TV set.
So you're going to buy one, huh?
No, I want to. They used to have $2,000 ones. I'm not sure if a $1,300 one would be good enough.
Well, actually,
might as well use a $5 one if you're gonna have a $1,300 one.
You need to Google this because I've actually seen cases where music recording studios use these conditioners because there's there are you do get line noise from certain bad power coming in.
Noise from the lights.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right. No, but that doesn't go in through the power supply. That, that's picked up by other electronics and the devices. You know.
But it's like the, these lights.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Those add noise to the circuits that are coming out of here.
No, but that but the noise that they add will get picked up by other electronics in the TV or stereo. It's not necessarily coming in through the power line. You know,
it's going to add noise here.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that noise is going to be transmitted to your television,
well,
to your receiver.
Show me a difference in the picture. I bet you, I bet it's completely impossible to tell a difference in the picture. One way or another.
If the voltage that we have, okay, is sufficiently clean, you won't see the difference.
Okay.
Right.
But, our situation here is not the situation you've got at your home.
Right. I think a home would be simpler because there's fewer stuff around to cause the pollution. Here should be much worse.
You know, not necessarily.
All these other devices going
not necessarily because you don't know where you are on the grid.
Right.
The stuff that's coming in on the aluminum wires into your home.
Right.
You don't know how much noise is on the primaries, is on the secondaries.
Right.
That is induced by a bad transformer.
Mm-hmm. But and I just don't see any noise. But I'm just saying, my stereo and my TV set, I just don't see any noise whatsoever. It seems quite pure. So
you know, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
Don't buy it.
I won't. But I'm just saying, this whole thing seems amazing to me that anyone would buy them. That's all.
People who want the best. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a store in Walnut Creek on Locust, okay, where they sell receivers that are $80,000.
I wouldn't buy one of them.
I
wouldn't buy one of them either.
Okay, are you going to go down? Are you going to challenge them?
Yes.
To
I bet I couldn't tell the difference between the bad.
Well,
and
but it depends upon your hearing.
Right.
My hearing may be better than yours.
Yeah.
Yours may be better than mine.
Right.
His may be better than both of ours.
Right.
Or then again, your may be worse.
Yeah.
I think I can still hear, and I've been it's been a while, but I think I can still hear a 21,000 cycle tone. Can you?
Not that high. I can get here pretty high, but not that high.
You may be able to get to 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's stuff that provides 21,000 cycles.
And $100 can do that nowadays too. No, speakers. See, I do will agree with you about speakers. Speakers certainly make a difference. But my claim is that speakers are the only thing that makes a difference nowadays. The cheapest electronics aren't all that bad.
Well, okay. To a degree, to a degree, I won't agree with you because the speakers that we have in the other room, the receivers, have specs, even the relatively inexpensive ones, that we would have only dreamt of 40 years ago.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Does that mean that there isn't a difference? No, there is a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a difference. There's a difference. There's a reason why Monster HDMI cables cost $130. For a piece of wire,
because
that's
market
6 feet long.
Because they market very well,
no.
And they get people to give them money. That's the only reason.
No, that's not true. That is not true, sir. Have you ever built cables?
No. Yes. Well, yeah, actually, but HDMI is digital.
No. You've built cables.
I have Ethernet and stuff like that.
Just there. Yeah. I have built cables that ran control rooms for nuclear reactors.
Okay.
So I think I know a little bit more about cables than you do.
But that was in the old days. The digital is totally different.
No, it is not. You're still carrying a frequency.
Yeah.
You still have a signal that is being carried across a wire that can provide interference regarding the wire that is next to it. Yeah, that can affect.
But the digital effect is going to clean that up. It's not going
to. No, it's not. A signal is a signal is a signal. Yeah. It's why you don't need a special antenna for HDTV. Yeah. Because a signal is a signal is a signal.
I will
say this.
Because it's digital, you're sending digital information down the cable. So if the cable that you're using is $20 and it sends the same numbers of digits down that cable, the shielding is not that important. If it works, it works. If you need, if you're in an environment where you've got a lot of noise,
not necessarily. Because again, if you're inducing a voltage into the next wire, then that you've corrupted the signal that is on that wire.
But if I test a digital cable and I send down 0001 and on the other side I get 0001, it works for me.
On that one wire, not necessarily on the wire that is next to it. You may get 00111.
Yeah.
Entirely different information.
Then I take the cable back. I mean, if it's digital, it's digital. You're sending voltage, but you're sending zeros and ones, right?
If your signal is very weak, it could be true.
That's when I'd go and I'd buy a monster cable for $100. If I have line noise and I plug it in at home and I get nothing but garbage or I don't get the signal, then I'm going to go say, okay, maybe there's some line noise being introduced into the cable.
For HDMI cable, for digital cable?
Yeah. It's either going to work or it's not going to work. I mean, numbers are numbers. If they change, then it's not working.
Well, up to a point, what you're saying is true. If the if you're getting the same kind of interference, same kind of signals at the source all the time, then you're going to get the same at the end. But what you're getting at the source is different because one movie is different than another.
Right.
The sound is different from one to another.
But the bits don't care. Once you digitize it, the bits
digits.
Don't care.
Because if you're inducing noise onto another cable, then you're not getting that same information. You're getting different digital information.
But you have to induce a noise strong enough to flip bits, which is much stronger than what might be noticeable with analog. Analog, your ear might pick up the slightest little thing, whereas digital has to flip the bits and really make mistakes, and I don't think that happens with HDMI.
No, you may not flip the bits, or you may add.
Yeah.
No, you may add bits.
Yeah.
I could see the shielding being important if you're in an environment that's so noisy electrically that it's going to cause those bits to get flipped.
How noisy do you need? How much noise do you need?
It's pretty far away. It's actually quite far away.
No, that's not the... That noise is there.
Yeah, but a neon light bulb...
That doesn't matter.
It does
isn't
matter.
Gonna, isn't
it does matter. If it doesn't matter to you, don't buy the stuff.
Okay.
The way they even
it's
exist.
Simple.
I just don't understand why.
Because
they
some people want the best.
Yeah. Right.
They want a pure. They want a pure sine wave.
Right.
They want a pure signal. Right. They don't want to have the potential for any corruption of their signals.
Right.
It's like me. Okay.
Okay.
I have 4-5 fire extinguishers at home, plus one in each car.
Okay.
And they're pretty good-sized ones.
Right.
Why is that?
Because if they're bigger in more places, they'll put out more fire.
Have you run into a car that was on fire?
Yes, I've seen them up the street.
You've seen them, but you haven't actually been there and been able to help with the fire extinguisher that was in your car.
No,
I used to carry one in my car. Actually, I used to do that.
Okay. Yeah,
but
I ran into a car on fire twice that I was able to help with the fire extinguisher that was in my car.
Right.
So that's why I carry them.
Right.
Okay, because I ran into a car that was on fire and I couldn't do anything.
Right.
Car was a total loss.
Okay.
That's why you have.
Yeah.
You know, because of noise like that.
Yeah.
That's why some people, not you.
Yeah.
You don't care.
Yeah.
Fine.
I don't think
don't buy it.
Earth. I don't think anyone can.
Don't buy it.
I don't think anyone can tell me.
Don't something. Buy it.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
Well, you don't. But see, you don't know that nobody can tell the difference.
Right.
You're assuming that because you can't tell the difference.
I never actually tried, but I'm just assuming you can tell the difference.
Oh,
But you won't demonstrate it. See, that's what I'm saying. You demonstrate it.
Excuse me.
What do you want to say?
I'm going to tell him something totally shocking about myself next.
Oh, okay.
I when hooking up speakers, use power cord. And I swear, I don't think anyone could tell the difference. I've even seen experiments and people were like, like the what's the Amazing Randy? I think the Amazing Randy has a challenge of
some
huge
thing.
Huge prize for someone who could show a difference between Monster Cable and Zipcord for speakers even.
Okay. Who does it, who has that challenge?
I think the Amazing Randy is in a very skeptic
magician
or something.
We're burning through the
yeah, but this guy's funny.
Anyways, the whole show.
But I just want to say that one thing and see how he reacts to that, though. About the speaker.
It's not really going to win or lose anything. It's kind of funny.
But you'll say something funny, though. Funny.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's totally. He's done. He's done.
By the way, the $300 ones over there, I swear those used to be the $2,000 ones. They look very familiar.
So, ground noise can be introduced if you don't have a proper ground and you plug in a hi-fi device.
So, just hire an electrician for a lot less than $1,300.
Right. Well, I know. So, I totally agree with that. I mean, that's the only time I've ever had that kind of a problem. Right. And that's what these conditioners that are really expensive for recording studios will do, is condition the electricity so that there's no ground, so that there's no noise being introduced.
Yeah.
But in terms of the power, I agree. Yeah. I don't think you need anything very, very fancy. And most places in the modern world don't need these converters that take up the difference and give you a 60-cycle.
I plug my computers directly into the wall.
No.
I do.
Well, anyway.
And the only problem with that, every once in a while the power fails completely, where I wish I had a UPS system, but that's a different story.
Okay.
That's a different story.
Oh.
You're not going anywhere
with this.
I just want to tell him the one thing about the Zipcord and see what he says, but he's too busy.
And it's not going to be... He's going to say, for you, don't buy it.
But
I
want to see him unplug the TV set and plug it directly in the wall, then unplug it, plug it in the $1,300 one, and show me any difference whatsoever in the picture. That's
There's
all
a
I
difference
want.
Between you
That's
and
all
him.
I want.
The difference between you and him is
he makes commissions, I don't.
He's getting a commission, and he makes his living by trying to convince you to buy things that are maybe not necessary.
Right. Okay.
And you don't need to do that.
Okay,
welcome back. This is Wes.
And this is the world famous Mark Bernay.
And we're now in the cafeteria of the Fry's Electronics in Concord.
Yeah, we're tempted to go around and ask the guy, I noticed that you have $3 Cokes. What? That's a rip-off. Why don't you just have $1 Coke? I bet no one could tell the difference between $3 Coke
no difference
and a $1
Coke. Cokes here and the ones at Safeway.
That's right.
So we have stories. Believe it or not.
I guess.
Real ones, not fake ones.
Right.
I'll start out. I want to start out by going over some of the vintage tech.
Mm-hmm.
The Daily History quote, Startup.com is a documentary film released in 2001 that chronicles the development of a rising internet company during the exciting days of the dot-com era. The film tells the story of two young and inexperienced graduates who received millions of venture capital dollars to launch a dot-com company. As the project progresses, personalities and egos clash during the long work hours, technology is stolen, and the project never works as planned.
I saw that
sounds pretty
like
much
twice.
Like every single
I saw that movie like twice. So
oh, did you really?
Familiar with it, yeah.
Okay.
But the guy's parents were very nice. They were very supportive and stuff. You know.
Huh?
Yeah, because it's just interviews.
Did he have to move back into his parents' house?
They went to visit the parents' house. I can't remember if he was living there or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a true... .com.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I know. And they just happened to have a camera.
I forget the name of it.
Somebody was filming the whole thing.
Right.
Meetings and such stuff like that.
Yeah, the funniest part to me is that they were trying to use something, some web service at the time that you could buy, that webmasters could buy, that would have a freeform search input or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they were playing around with that. And every time the CEO of the company would... They call him over for a demo. Okay, we're ready now. And he'd type in something, and it would come up with total garbage. It's not work whatsoever. It was just kind of, anyway.
Hmm.
Those things never do, really.
That sounds like a Bill Gates presentation.
Yeah. It didn't break.
Okay.
It just came out with crazy hits. The search results were just crazy.
Hmm.
And that's just, pretty typical of search engines on websites.
Okay.
Not to search the whole web, but it's just a search your own site.
Hmm.
They tend to bring up irrelevant things a long time ago. But yeah, you can rent that stuff. It's a very entertaining.
It bring back memories of what it was like.
Yeah,
having your company basically do pay people to sit around and develop websites.
Yeah. I totally forgot. Oh, that's right. It was going to be a government services thing. They were going to sell to governments. And those things do exist now. That they're going to sell their services to governments to let the public access all the government records and things like that. I think is what it was about.
Have you ever laid cables for nuclear power plants? You ever worked on
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I've,
Well, he wins. He wins.
No, but I bet he did that. I bet he was in the Navy when he was 17.
Okay.
And had that job working on a nuclear plant on a submarine or something.
He's now subscribed to our show, of course. You know that, right?
Should we tell him?
He did that in the background.
Should we tell him?
No. Okay, so I'll do another daily history quote.
Okay.
The famous Big Blue nickname of IBM is adopted in the 1960s. The blue is derived from the blue suits worn by the sales staff. Others say it's inspired by the big blue boxes containing the large mainframe computers of the 1960s. The big is in reference to the computer's giant size and influence in the computer industry since its incorporation in 1911.
Well, did you say blue shirts?
No, because all suits.
Suits. Well, yeah, maybe. I know they all wore white shirts and stuff, but I forgot what color suits they wore.
Okay.
I work with IBM people a lot, but...
Yeah. I still work with IBM people.
But
I don't choose to, but I have
to. In the old days when they all wore suits. Oh. In the old days when IBM had company songs. I'm not kidding. IBM employees that worked in big offices and stuff, mm-hmm. they would spend some time in the morning going into an auditorium and singing company songs and getting inspiration. No, I'm not. Because I went to these mainframe conferences, kind of like, you know, they're what,
you can look
share.
Yourself. You can give us links?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen them. Yeah, I went to these kind of conferences of this thing called Share that was for mainframe users and stuff.
Yeah.
And Share would have after-hour sessions, just as a joke, where people, the audience would sit around and sing IBM songs that their IBM salespeople would give them and swear were actually sung within IBM and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
So, no, I think this is very authentic. Right? It was very well known at the time. I'm sure those songs are available. Yeah.
Awesome. Lotus Notes.
No, they dropped
Eclipse.
It. By the time PCs became popular, I think it was all dropped.
Right. But, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be good to hear.
Yeah.
Because I will never sing a song about Lotus Notes.
Yeah. But the company you work for right now, you wouldn't go and get an order?
No.
No wonder you're so frustrated at work all the time. You have no sense of loyalty to your company because you don't get to do that. Yeah.
To sing songs?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Instead of giving raises, we're now going to just drop the raises.
Yeah.
We're all singing songs.
Did I ever tell you that I once went to a management retreat of the company I worked at where one of the goals of the retreat was to come up with a way to motivate employees but without having to spend any money to raise a salary.
Okay.
And we were just sitting around brainstorming about what people would want and how we could do that. And it was just very, very funny. Yeah. So that does happen. That's
I know it does. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So for people who are interested in figuring out what's going to happen with the stimulus package,
the money will all be stolen.
Well,
and nothing will happen at all.
That's the fear, of course, but this there's now a stimulus tracking website that the Barack team has set up.
Okay.
It is called recovery.gov. You don't even need the www. So the White House has launched recovery.gov, a site designed to track the myriad expenditures authorized under the law for transportation infrastructure, broadband deployment, science, education, and targeted tax relief. Now, does that mean they're only going to track certain aspects of...
They'll only track overall grants. I bet they don't show what happened to it within... In other words, if it says billions of dollars we spent to build freeways, watch carefully with your own eyes to see if freeways are getting built.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
Right.
Stuff like that.
So what do you do if it's not?
Just say, well, there it goes again. We just lost billions of dollars again.
So you just look at the website and go, oh, there's no way I can respond and complain. I just simply watch the money get spent.
You can write letters. Anyway, no, it might work out. I mean, things might happen, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have any...
Well, see, we used the core light we talked about in the printer section.
Uh-huh.
And the... Oh, yeah. There's a really good service that actually works, and it can be free or it can be like 10 or more per month, depending on what services you want from it.
Okay.
It's called TrapCall, TrapCall.com.
Now, this is cool. I like this. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it seems unbelievable at first, but I've tried it and it actually works with AT&T at least. Apparently it does not work with Verizon right now, and I didn't really see anything about the other Sprint and MetroPCS stuff like that. Yeah, no, I have no idea. But what you do is you go to their website and register, and you give them your cell phone number that'll be contacted in their system.
Okay.
Then they talk you through on your particular carrier how to switch your busy call forwarding.
Okay.
So you switch your busy call forwarding to them rather than your own carrier's voicemail. And I think they don't really tell you how to switch back. Like you better, as you, they kind of guide you through the, by the hand to show what your current call forwarding is on busy. And you type that into them, but they may not save it. So you write that down yourself, because if you ever want to leave the service, you'll need to set it back up that way.
All right.
Okay. So then you tell them what it is, because their server needs to know. They give you an 800 number of their own, so you then program your busy call forwarding to go to that 800 number.
All right.
Okay. So when any call comes in, if you just answer it live, nothing happens. But if for any reason you don't answer it, or you reject it or whatever, it goes over to their server. And their server will do a couple of different things depending on what level of service you're paying for and what you want them to do and stuff. First of all, if you reject the call but it's still ringing, so it goes over to their server, still ringing, and they see that it's a blocked call, they will immediately call you back with their own server but having it unblocked. Since you're forwarding an 800 number, they can see what the blocked number is.
Okay.
And then, I say, they'll then call you back. As long as the caller lets it ring long enough that you can still answer the second call, you can talk to them normally, but the caller ID will be unblocked, so you'll know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, secondly, if the call touches their system, like you don't answer it directly, you either answer it through this rejection and get a second call, or if the call is handled by their voicemail system or whatever, they will then send you a text message giving the name of the caller, not just the phone number,
awesome.
Which cell phones wouldn't normally get the name.
Right.
And then they also do transcription service. I bet they're buying somebody's. I bet they're not doing it themselves. But they'll do a voicemail transcription service like, is it VoiceCloud is the one I like right now? I forget. Yeah, they'll do something like that. And maybe they may even use VoiceCloud for all I know.
Okay.
So for free, they'll give you the caller ID block breaking. I think that's all you'll get for free.
Okay.
If you pay $10 a month, then you get the transcription services and the name caller ID information.
Okay.
And then you have a level of $25 a month. I can't remember what that does. Maybe so, more transcription minutes or something.
For all you men and women out there who are like who have multiple relationships going at the same time, this is an awesome system to use.
In case they try to call blocked or something.
Yeah, exactly. If somebody suspects or thinks that you're seeing somebody else behind their back, then they call you with a blocked number.
Yeah, I see. Sure. But you have to stress to all your friends, let it ring a really long time.
Yeah.
Because since you have to reject the block call and wait for it to come back,
okay,
it can be a few rings
but
from their side.
But can you set that? Can you say like after three rings?
No. Well, with your carrier.
Or is it your phone?
No, it's not
either one. Call forwarding from the phone, right?
Yeah, but it's whenever, but the call forwarding on busy apparently is what happens when you hit the reject button if your phone has that.
Okay.
Not every system lets you reject a call.
I see.
But if you can reject the call, it goes to that call forwarding busy. So I was saying, if your phone rings and you very quickly recognize it's blocked, very quickly press reject.
Okay.
Maybe from the caller's point of view, two more rings will go by before they'll feed it back to you with the caller ID open. So from the caller's point of view, they're hearing a lot of rings, and they may just hang up.
I see.
That's the problem.
Okay.
So you have to stress to people that to wait a long time.
Okay.
Like, it's not really the number of rings. It's just that it takes a while for their server to get it and call you back and sell your system or ring your phone again and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it's fun to sign up for, but I say if you ever want to leave them, they may not tell you what your call forwarding busy number is now, so make sure to write it down to go back to that. And by the way, they do, you kind of get the impression that the calls are going to be handled by their voicemail, but it's not, because like on the iPhone, the visual voicemail works.
Oh.
So by the time it hits voicemail, it is coming back to your real AT&T voicemail, apparently.
Okay.
Anyway.
So Mozilla is releasing something that's in beta right now, but I think it's interesting. It's called the Bespin Framework.
Okay.
It's basically an IDE for developers to use that allows you to develop in a browser in the cloud.
Right.
Let's see here.
With the cloud being your own servers or Amazon?
No, who
runs it?
I don't know a lot about what this is. I know it requires like Firefox 3 or WebKit. It uses some cutting edge standards, and they're speaking about the Mozilla ecosystem. So it's a standards compliant web browser.
Well, IE8 is standards compliant.
Yes, it is. You know? Yeah.
And WebKit, by the way, is Apple's product that you can generate your own things like Safari, like Apple Safari.
Which is free, and you can download that. Yeah. So I'll put a link in the show notes to see if you're interested in playing around with this Mozilla Bespin framework for doing interactive development. It's somehow there's some sort of a give and a take. When you're writing code, you can submit it, and it comes back with... So it's interactive. It's not just simply like... You know, you're writing into TextPad or some sort of an IDE that's just all static.
Okay.
There's some kind of submit and receive data. I'm wondering, it has the potential to be pretty interesting. So I'll put a link
for your programmers out there.
Yeah, for you. Or people who might just be hobbyists.
Right. So I have a stupid item. I don't know if this is really true or not. I'm going to have to study this. But supposedly there are so many people in Britain... who text while walking down the street, and there's such a problem with them running into objects on the street and hurting themselves that some street is starting to experiment with putting padded wrappings around telephone poles and other objects.
Awesome.
And if that seems successful to avoid accidents, they may put them in other cities and stuff.
Huh.
I found that probably this is all bullshit, but I don't know. It's just kind of funny.
Okay.
So, do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else that's worthwhile. I do have, I do have to say that I also do not have any good significant apps, this time around.
No iPhone apps?
We're running out of time.
What? You have to do iPhone apps? You have to do fart apps? You're not gonna leave, don't try to leave fart apps out. You better not.
I don't even have fart apps.
So I do. I have five lots of fart apps.
You're the king of fart apps.
I know. But, okay, well, I'll leave this side. This item is not important. Okay, well, in the fart app news this week, we talked to, as we were wandering around fries, we talked about one company suing the other one over the fart apps. Okay, the fart apps have gone to a new dimension. They're not just human anymore. There's a fart app called Toot and Pooch with a dog doing farts.
Okay, so we're now at a new level.
Yes, that's kind of a new level.
And then I like this one.
Yeah, puke and pukey peed. Yeah, they're starting to be puke apps. There may have been puke apps before.
The
site specialized only in fart apps.
Right.
I don't pay that much attention to puke apps.
Okay.
But this is kind of funny because the name is puke and peed.
Specializes in fart apps.
I'm really tempted to start a blog strictly about fart apps stuff. But if so many have already gone by, I'd have to go back in the past and study like hundreds of them that have already gone by. So it'd be so hard to catch up.
That's awesome.
But anyway, I'll put a link to Pukey Pete.
Okay.
And then this one's really... This is kind of false advertising. It's not really true. But there's a legitimate musical app for the iPhone called Ocarina.
Right.
Did we ever talk about that?
No, you've shown me this. I don't think you talked about it before.
Okay, but Ocarina is a simulation of a real wind-blown handheld little musical instrument, I think, called an ocarina.
Okay.
Where it just has, like, four holes on it, and depending on how you blow your mouth into the ocarina, what holes you cover and stuff like that, you can play an octave or two of music, a real music on it.
Okay.
And you can modulate your breath to make effects from it and stuff like that. So there's this iPhone app that's pretty popular called Ocarina that has four places to put your fingers where you press through the fingers, and then you blow into the microphone, and the airflow has nothing to do with it, but the microphone hears your sound. There's a lot of apps that you blow into the microphone but it works by sound.
Right.
So anyway, with Ocarina, you hold it like an instrument and press the buttons and blow into it, and you can modulate it with your breath. You can make different sounds come out of it.
Okay.
Because it's sensitive to the sounds of your breath. And you can tilt it down and it'll do one effect. You tilt it up, it'll do another effect, stuff like that.
Okay.
So there's a fart app now that's trying to copy that concept, but really not very well, called Fart Arena. And you start Fart Arena and it says blow here and draws a picture.
Yeah.
And you blow there. But it doesn't seem to care what you do. It definitely reacts to the fact that it's hearing noise in the microphone, but it just seems to play the same fart noises no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So it's very disappointing.
It's random. It's sort of random. Once it hears the sound above a certain threshold, it seems to then start.
Yeah, but people are complaining in the comments. There's only one comment at the time I looked. But anyway, people are complaining in the comments that why isn't it like the real ocarina with the four buttons on top to set the pitch and stuff like that, where you can actually modulate the fart.
There is no pitch. It's just
music.
A fart.
So you play music with the fart, modulate the fart, stuff like that. Yeah.
Not gonna
Okay. And you want a serious iPhone app?
Do you have a serious iPhone?
How about video? Do you have time for the video tester? Do you have time for that article?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that with you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So There used to be a computer called the Commodore Amiga.
Yes.
That was very popular with video people because it had an add-on called the Video Toaster that I never really fully understood.
It was a combination of hardware and software.
Yeah, but people claimed at the time that the Video Toaster and the Amiga combined was way, way, way cheaper than anything else you could buy to edit video at that time.
Yeah.
You know, before Macs had video editing, before PCs had it and all that.
Right.
So if you can comment briefly on whatever you know about that, then I'll talk about this modern-day item.
Well, I know that basically there was a lot of experimentation going on at the mm-hmm. time using the Video yeah. Toaster to
right.
do what we do today with Final Cut Pro
okay.
on an Amiga. And it was sort of, the hardware was geared more towards working with video, and many
right.
people had adopted this and started using it for doing television shows, video
right.
stuff. And there was also three-dimensional rendering packages, I think, in some form that allowed you to create characters and things
on
like
the
that
video
for the
toaster,
Video Toaster.
Right.
Okay. Special effects.
And the Video Toaster was hardware, right?
Yes.
It had the plug-in to the Amiga. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a combination. Yeah. It was hardware connected with the actual Amiga computer.
Okay.
And the Amiga was sufficient power-wise, sufficient enough to actually handle rendering and things that the Video Toaster would allow you to do. And there was one famous Bay Area, I think he was a radio DJ, but he really loved this thing. It did some video work for various people. I'll have to look it up.
It's vaguely familiar. I just don't remember. Yeah.
I want to say KGO DJ, but no.
Probably someone on television.
He was really popular.
Yeah.
He was a total promoter of the Video Toaster, and it was for a while like something that many people were looking at to use. One of the first video editing computers that was low cost enough. So that's what I know.
Okay, so this item has nothing to do with the original Video Toaster, it's just the name. But it's a use for your old VHS machine that you're going to throw away because they're totally obsolete.
Okay.
There's a website that shows you how to modify that to turn into a toaster. They'll toast, where you put a slice of toast into the VHS slot,
yeah,
and it toasts it with a pattern. So when the toast pops back out, it says VHS on the toast.
Wow.
So it's a video toaster.
This is like the idea behind the original Macs, where basically people would gut them and turn them into fish
aquariums.
Fish tanks. Yeah.
That Web Sculptor has articles about that at the time.
Does he really?
Too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because
I am familiar with aquarium fish tanks.
Okay.
Macs turned into aquariums. Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Also, so we won an iPhone, a Sirius iPhone app.
I got to do some serious editing.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on.
Someone left a message, so I just got a text from that service showing me the name of the person that just left the message.
Okay.
Even though I already knew it, but anyway. So, Signal Scope. Let's do that one. Signal Scope. It's expensive. But it makes an honest-to-goodness oscilloscope that listens into the microphone of the iPhone and does real oscilloscope types of effects.
Okay.
Except it's not starting. But, oh, there we go. Let's do waveform, built-in microphone, start. And it just makes an oscilloscope with all kinds of auto-ranging and stuff. And if I just hum, it'll pick up immediately and synchronize the signal and show
them. Can you freeze the waveform?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's this picture of the camera.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Yeah,
that's important.
And you can save this to your camera picture roll and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can type in a description of it. With my 4-line keyboard, I have this jailbreak thing I just downloaded today that lets you change the iPhone keyboard to 4 lines. So you have a numeric line on top, just like normal things would have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway,
that is impressive.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
How much was it?
Like $25.
Wow.
So that's about it.
I think we've gone over. Thanks everybody for listening
to
the show.
We always go over. What are you talking about? If
we
always go over, then we're not really over.
We're supposed to be like half an hour show.
We're one hour. They're 1 hour. Everyone's 1 hour.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So again, thanks for listening.
We have to go find the guy.
The
guy might be free.
You want to go back there? I'll hold him down. You can start hitting him.
Yeah, I know. You were in
digital,
the Navy when you were 17. You were in the Navy when you were 17. Isn't
digits
that what you meant?
Equals digits out. If it's different,
I just want to challenge him whether he was in the Navy when he was 17. Is that what he's talking about?
He never said how old he was.
I know. He just said he worked on nuclear power plants.
Right.
Kids at 17 in the Navy might happen to do that. That's on a submarine or something.
Yeah, they're more expendable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Again, everybody, thank you for listening. Be sure to go to www.slurpcast.com.
Right.
Participate in the blog, add comments. I'm going to add, I think we should probably in the blog entries, add a link that takes people directly to the comment field, because it's not very clear.
That there is one.
That
or
there is a way to add comments.
Yeah.
You have to click on comments and then add a comment.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
No one ever adds comments.
Click,
so
add a
maybe
comment.
That's why. Maybe you're right.
Please tell us we're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anyway. Thanks again.
We're
guys.
Wrong.
We're.
If we're wrong, I correct them. Look at the show notes and the URLs. I correct every mistake. We are not wrong by the time that the Slurpcast entry is printed.
That's true.
We are not wrong.
That's true. So. All right, Mark.
Okay.